April 15th, 2024. We're in Masechet Bava Kama. We'll go back to Daf Kaf Daled Amud Aleph, the very bottom line. The Gemara cited a Beraita. The Gemara was in the midst of talking about two opinions with regards to when an animal is established as Mu'ad, are we Liya'ude Gavra or Liya'ude Torah? In other words, are we effectively, through these witnesses, bringing forth evidence and warning and making certain that the owner heeds the call of your animal is dangerous, be careful about it? Or are we alternatively just establishing the animal as being a reckless, dangerous animal? The Gemara said, "Lemay nafka mina." What's the difference? The Gemara suggested that the difference would be if all three sets of witnesses come on the one day, well, what would the halakha be in such a circumstance? On the one hand, you've established the animal as being reckless and dangerous. It's mu'ad. On the other hand, if it has to do with the owner says, well, if I had known, if you had come, oh, give me a chance. Now I'll safeguard. Now I'll build and put into motion the necessary precautions. The Gemara brought a proof that it's liya'udeh Torah. In other words, the Gemara brought a proof that the warnings, or better yet, the testimonies are being leveled at the animal, just in establishing that the animal is mu'ad, is dangerous and reckless. How so? Apparently from this beraita, which the Gemara cited, what emerges is that all three sets of witnesses can come in a single day. How could that be? Well, the Gemara suggests that we're dealing with a circumstance where three sets of witnesses are found to be false conspiring witnesses. So you have three sets, that's six people, they're all found to be false conspiring witnesses. If all six of them are found to be what's called the Eidim Zomimim, all six of them have to pay 100%. Each one of them should be able to claim, what do you mean? I'm only half. No. Clearly the Gemara is understanding. You all came in the same day. You all knew what was going on over here. There's no claim over here. I'm paying half. I only testified about the animal for one goring. So that's what we'll pick up on the bottom of Daf Kaf Daled Amud Aleph. Says the Gemara some three words onto the line. Well, it's his property.
It's just questions. Why is the warning towards the person who is not paying? Should the warning be obligated towards the payer?
It is.
It's not.
The word warning needs to be scratched in the context of the animal. It's testimony that the animal is a wild animal and the owner was negligent in not looking after it. So it's more primary focus on the animal, less on the owner with regards to giving the owner some chance. Basically, the idea is, according to that approach, if it has to do with the animal, the owner doesn't really get a warning. That's not the point. The point is your animal was reckless and wild. You should have known without any warning. We just need to establish that your animal is reckless and wild. Again, it comes back to what's the nature of mu'ad, if you recall the way Rav Shimon Shkop articulated it. Is it a siman or is it a siba? Are we establishing it as reckless or are we just showing, revealing that it's reckless? Okay, anyway, it says the Gemara, I amarta, if you're to say li ya'ude Torah shapir, if you're to say that when we make mu'ad, we're making the animal mu'ad shapir, I understand that beraita, I understand the reality in which three sets of witnesses perhaps came on one day, and as a result, they'll all be paying 100%. However, if you're to argue that the mu'ad aspect is with regards to making certain that the owner takes heed of the words and descriptions that these witnesses have, the early set of witnesses should be able to say, Anan, we... Do you think we knew that after 3 days, these other groups would come and they would make him mu'ad? You can't make us liable for 100%. It's true, we were lying. Guilty as charged, but we're only going to pay half. Why only going to pay half? Together with the... I didn't know others were coming. Now, if they all came in the same day, I might be able to make the argument, as the Gemara will in a moment. You knew about one another. If I came on Sunday and the final group came on Thursday, I say, well, what do you mean? In the moment where I came, all I knew was about one made-up goring. You can't make me liable. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Asher, Rav Asher explained or exclaimed, Amrita lishma'ata kamet Rav Kahana. He says, I said this teaching, this proof, in front of Rav Kahana. In other words, I brought forth evidence that it's liyaude Torah, that when we're establishing mu'ad, we're establishing the animal as being mu'ad, not as much giving warning or making certain that the owner heeds the reality on the ground. He said, I brought him this evidence. The Amar li, and Rav Kahana said to me, uliyaude Torah miniha. And do you think that if it's coming to establish the animal as being reckless, as being dangerous, this is okay? You think this is a good testimony? This is a good evidence? V'lemru hanach batra'e anan minayad einan dekol deka'e bedina le'ashude betorah ka'atu. In other words, it's true. We all came in the same day. I admit it. You're right. But me, I saw the groups of witnesses in the court on that day. I didn't know they were coming for the same animal, for the same issue. I knew they were here. They knew I was here. We weren't conspiring together, per se. You're right. I have to pay half. And you're right. We all could come on the same day. In other words, the Gemara says, if you're to argue that they all came on the same day, well, now I've established a circumstance, a situation that, A, all three sets of Eidim Zomim pay 100%, and B, it means they all came on the same day. So I brought evidence that the halakha is that we're coming to testify against the animal, not to the owner. But that being the case, says the Gemara, I still don't understand why those three sets of witnesses should have to pay 100%. Each one of them can and should be believed in saying, I didn't know the other sets were here for the same issue as me. And if they don't know that they're there for the same set, for the same reason, well, then I was here to obligate a half. Again, this is a significant line because you might say, who cares? Ultimately speaking, as they're testifying in the same day, they're establishing this as a case of 100% liability. The only way we're going to penalize the witness to do exactly that which they tried to do is if we can establish that their intention was to do this. I can't establish that their intention was to obligate 100%. They can cogently and in a believable fashion say, I didn't know the other sets of witnesses were here for the same issue as me. It's the point Jesse kept screaming last week. He said, each one of these sets, how do you establish that their mindset was to obligate 100%? Oh, they all came in the same day. Mabruk, they all came in the same day. I've been to many places in the same day as you, and I was there for one reason, you were there for another reason. I've even been in court for at the same time as other people for different reasons. They were in the courtroom. I guess that. And they knew exactly what they were testifying about, which animal. Maybe they knew they were testifying about the same person, same animal, same circumstance. Hard to believe. Says the Gemara, Anan, lehayuve gavra, they could claim, lehayuve gavra, we were looking to obligate the owner, the man, palganizka atinan, half damage, that was why we came. Answers the Gemara, one of three answers, as to, again, how we'll find the case, because the Beraita told us we have such a case. We'll find the case of Edim Zomimin, three sets of conspiring witnesses. Again, we're suggesting they came on the same day. They're looking to obligate the owner of this ox in money. Each one of them testifies only about one of the gorings. Together, all three of them establish it as a shor mu'ad. However, we're now saying, says the Beraita, all of them need to pay 100%. Why should they have to pay 100%? I get it, they all came on the same day. Nice evidence, liya'ude Torah, that their testimony is against the animal. I still don't understand. Why should they not be believed in saying, we came independent of the other group?
They testify about the same
word? Of course they're testifying.
The same
word,
about one
word. No, that's... it's the same... If it's one goring, then it's not 100%.
Right, but my point is that three sets.
No, but it doesn't help anything. Our Beraita says that they pay 100%. Maybe this is what you mean. That they can claim, I thought I was here for the same goring as the other ones. If I can make that claim, then I shouldn't have to pay 100%. Answers Gemara, answer number one. Kedekameramezeh ramuzeh. Maybe it's that we saw them motioning one to the other. Really? You didn't know he was here for the same issue as you? How come we saw you gesturing one to the other? I saw you gesticulating across the room, in the hallway. I saw something of that sort. Clearly you were here together. We do to you as you conspire. Come on, your actions spoke for themselves. Rav Ashi Amar, similar, along the same lines. You don't need gesticulations and hand movements and anything of that sort. They came all at the same time. You think I'm going to believe you. You happen to have walked up to the door at the exact same time, dealing with the same person. All of you are false, conspiring witnesses. Come on. Clearly, the Nizak put you up to this. The person who got damaged put you up to this. He wants to get 100%, and this is all some sort of conspiracy which you all put together. Third answer, which we're really up to, Ravina Amar b'makirin ba'al hashor ve'en makirin et hashor. The suggestion goes as follows. The witnesses claim that they know who the owner of the ox is, but they don't know the actual ox. Why does that make a difference? So they come in and they claim, we saw your ox gore. Okay. How much liability? Which animal? Well, let's determine, is the animal a short tam or a short mu'ad and all that sort of business. Well, if it's a short tam, which effectively their testimony is only on short tam, a short tam only pays migufo, nothing more than its value. If I can't establish how much this animal is worth, because I don't know which animal it was, I walk into court and I testify, Charlie's animal, a gored. So Charlie says, which animal? How much damage? I did $100 damage. How much does his animal cost? I don't know. I don't know which one of his animals it was. Oh, so if that's the case, then I'm not looking to make him obligated to pay half. I'm looking to make him obligated. The best I can be doing is 100%. I can't be looking to get him half. Again, shortam pays migufo, pays based on its own value. If I can't establish what the value of this animal is, well, the only reason I'm walking into court is so that my testimony combines with other people's testimonies to establish that the damage which his animal is doing is 100% liability. The next question of the Gemara, elahechim miya'edle. If that's the case, so then how do you establish anything? What did I walked into court and I said, something. What do you mean something? I know his animal gored. His animal gored, so you're going to make him liable for what? Based on, answers the Gemara, de amre, the witnesses, that's me over here, Torah naghana itlach bebekarecha. I say, you should know, Charlie, you have a wild, uncontrolled animal in your cattle. As a result, you need to safeguard, to protect all of your bakar. So let's establish again what we've then arrived at in the Gemara. The third answer in the Gemara is, how do you find a case where three sets of Edim Zomim testify about one animal and they're going to be liable for 100% damage because they're all false testimonies? Wait a second. If they came on separate days, each one of them can make the claim, I didn't know about the other one, I'll pay half, I'm not paying whole. Okay, has to be they all came on the same day. They all came on the same day, they should still be able to make such a claim. I didn't know he was here for this, I didn't know he was there for this. So as the Gemara, one of three answers. Either they were motioning one to the other, or they all walked in at the same time, or, most importantly for us, because it's new over here, says the Gemara, they testified not about a specific animal, rather they said, Charlie, you have an animal which is wild. You need to watch over all of your cattle. That's my testimony. You can't say that my intention was to make him obligated to pay half. Why not? He's not going to pay half. Short tam only pays migufo. If I can't look at the body of the animal, I can't make him pay half. The only thing I can make him pay is the full amount. How am I paying the full amount? How am I making him pay the full amount if I'm together with the other two sets of witnesses? That's the suggestion. Final answer of the Gemara. That must be the case. The case was that each one of these groups walked in, testified about one of his animals, but didn't know which one. There is a question Tosafot addressed. Well, if that's the case, all right, all is said and done. Who said that the first goring, quote unquote, fake goring was not ox number one, and second fake goring was ox number two, and third goring was ox number three? How do you know when all is said and done that even these false conspiring witnesses, that somehow we're going to combine them and say that if we were to accept your testimony, he'd have to pay 100%? Why would he have to pay 100%? And as a result, why should I have to pay 100%? 100%. That's the question of Tosafot right here on the right-hand side. So again, the question of Tosafot here, Dibura Matchil bin Makirin Ba'al Hashur, you have to skip down maybe six lines in Tosafot. Second word on the line where it says, Vav Alif Taf, Vim Tomar, Dekevan De'en Makirin Et Hashur, since these witnesses don't recognize and aren't able to locate and to determine which ox it was, or which cow did the damage, maybe the one who did the first goring is not the same as the second or the third. And as a result, A, in terms of us trying to make him obligated 100%, it shouldn't work. And B, once we're found to be false witnesses, we shouldn't have to pay 100%. The case must be, says Tosafot, that after all three sets of witnesses testified, we all stepped up and made our testimony. First me, then Jesse's group, then Eli's group. We're all very angry at Charlie, lo aleinu. And we finish our testimonies, and then we all said, oh, we know you have a wild animal. I don't know which one. And then they say, okay, the court says, all right, let's take the three of you and your partner, because we came with a partner witness, and bring you to the flock of Charlie. And we will walk on, and they bring us in front of, what's it called, the hedge, the lineup. And so they put all of his animals, and we take turns. And I say, oh, I know which one it is now. It's that one. And then Jesse designates the same one. And then Eli designates the same one. Now that we've established it after the fact, we're effectively trying to make that one animal of Charlie's liable for 100% damage. We're then all found to be false witnesses. What's the halacha? We're paying 100%. What's that? We first listened to their testimony, which was without a lineup, and then we tried to locate it.
False witnesses, all of a sudden they have integrity, they're not going to point out which animal,
they don't know which animal. Well, all witnesses have integrity until proven otherwise. So yes, they had integrity in their initial testimony that we saw something in his flock, what's it called, damage. We have integrity in locating and determining it afterwards. And then, ironically, he gave us so much integrity, just one more set of witnesses came, invalidated us. They're the ones who have the integrity now, and we're knocked down paying 100%. That's the way it works.
The third time, they kill him, no?
Yes.
They kill him, so I don't know which one is it. I have the whole earth. You testify the first one, you testify the second one, you testify the third one, so I give them all.
No, what do you mean? We don't know which one's Shor Mu'at.
Only
one's going to. So then you're not going to kill any of them. That's right. So Tosafot explains we're dealing with, after our testimonies, we then designated that one. We all said the same one. As a result, we all claimed after the lineup that it's the same one. We're all testifying about the same one. We want to put that one to death, and we want you to pay 100%. And we're all found to be false conspiring witnesses. We have to pay all that. All right, says the guy
makes 300%.
The guy makes 300%.
Triple.
I mean, you firstly remember all his lawyer fees and all his loss of work that's going to pay back for that. Secondly, all the angst and the sorrows that he had to go through. And yeah, that's right. The punishment to those guys, lucky guy on the other end. You should never be on the other end, even if they're found to be false witnesses, because you had to go through the bad name and all that sort of stuff. We'll address separately. Important question. What's that? That's what we're suggesting. But they want to nail him for full. But the craziest part is that they walked in together. Maybe the minam is there. Okay, you caught us with our text messages or something like that. We walked into court together. Okay, we're finding. Doesn't mean that people actually did this in history. It means that that could be the case. Okay, iba'ya lehu, the Gemara goes on to something new. It brings us back to an issue we addressed earlier, which, I suppose it's, I never thought I'd say this. It's good Jeffrey's not here today, because he got very angry about Gina Amma the last time, so it'll be a little bit easier. easier this time. Nathan was the one who told you, Eli, you told me, just accept it and move on. So here, one more time, Gerama. You might recall there's a concept known as Gerama. Gerama benizikin. He tattled on you, Nathan. Gerama benizikin means if I didn't cause the direct damage, it was only caused by something that I put into motion, I'm not liable for paying. As a result, there's a Mishnah in Masechet Sanhedrin, which says, we're going to read from it a bit in a moment, if you're mishase et hakelim or mishase et hanahash, if a person incites an animal to go after a person and the animal kills the person, lo alenu, or damages the person, the inciter is not liable. Not liable? Well, he's liable bidei shamayim. He has to pay up to heaven. But in terms of in this world, it was indirect and he's not liable. But, says the Gemara, that's not our issue. We know that from the Mishnah. Iba'ya lehu. This is the question they had in the Bet Midrash. Hamshase kalbo shel habero. I incite, lo alenu, the rabid dog of my friend, behavero, against another person. Mahu. What's the halacha in such a circumstance? Mishase vaday patur. The insider, that's me over here, I'm certainly exempt. Why am I exempt? Remember? Because Gerama benizikin is patur. This is the part that Jeffrey, listening on recording, inshallah, is going to go up in arms. I can't understand. Okay, that's the halacha. I told you, on Shabbat we accept Gerama open-heartedly, very excitedly. When it comes to these matters, it's a little bit harder to accept. That's the halacha. What about Baal HaKelib? What about the owner of the dog? So I walked into, I don't know anyone here who has a dog, but let's say one of you have a dog. I walk into your home and I incite your dog. It's my inciting, I'm not liable. Are you liable? Because your dog then went up after another person and hurt them. My, mi amrinan, on the one hand, can the owner of the dog claim, mase amarle, he can say to him, ana, I, my avidnale, what did I do to it? I didn't do anything. I just had my dog. You incited my dog. You're not obligated, neither am I. I didn't do anything. My avidnale, what I do to it. Odilma, or maybe on the other end, we might claim, amrinanle, we say to you, dog owner, kevande adata bekalbecha, since you knew your dog, demeshasele, umishtase, that when someone tries to incite it, it gets incited, la ibala ibaelach le ashuye, you shouldn't have had it just around. You shouldn't have been holding on to it at all. It's a dangerous dog. If your dog is vulnerable to being incited by others, you shouldn't be holding on to that dog. You should get rid of the dog. You should put the dog to death. Those are the two angles. On the one hand, he claims, I didn't do anything. On the other hand, you know, it's similar to lo aleno, a person. Interesting question. I don't know exactly how you establish. You have to determine. But it might be that the baseline with regards to dogs is they are incited, and as a result, you need to. I'm making this up. You need to test it initially to see if it gets incited. If it doesn't get incited, so then you don't need to watch after. Otherwise, yes, you would have to watch after over it. You know, it's similar in a terrible sense to a person's a gun owner. And someone, lo aleinu, gets to their gun and uses their gun. I say, well, are you going to make me liable because I have the gun? I didn't do anything. On the other hand, you know that a gun is potent and powerful in and of itself. You didn't have it locked up. You didn't have it under some sort of lock and key and in a way that nobody could get to it. Amar Bizera, Rabbi Zera says, come and listen to the proof for this halacha from the following. Tashema, it's from our Mishnah, the Mishnah we just had. Vitam, shiyehu hatinokot memashmeshin bo ve'eno nogeach. If you recall, the second opinion in our Mishnah was, how do you go from an animal being mu'ad, paying 100%, because we assume that the animal is dangerous, it's wild, it's reckless, how do you bump it down to now again, no, it's more tame. Is there a way to bump it down? Both opinions in the Mishnah suggest that there is. The second opinion says, it's when the animal, and this might be, Dr. Masri kept telling me that the art school translates it as, not mimashmashim petting, but poking. It might be for this reason. And from this bit, from this proof in the Gemara, I still don't buy it, per se. I still am not convinced. Because you could still say it means you're petting it, which is a way of inciting a ox. Ox don't take petting very easily. Just like, again, I said, you see bison, anybody just goes and stands next to it. That's inciting it. You can't just go up next to these animals. So anyway, regardless of whether it's poking or petting, the point over here is, the Mishnah says, how do you take an animal down from being mu'ad to being tam when the children go up to it and pet it and it doesn't gore? Oh, wait a second. What if it did gore? How much would the owner be liable to pay? It was already a shor mu'ad. I understand, but it's already a shor mu'ad. Who cares if he incited it? I'd assume, right? Ha nogeach hayav. It sounds like, I hear what you're saying, Alan, but it sounds like the simple reading of the Mishnah is, if you went up to it, petted it, incited it, the owner of the animal is liable for 100%. If it didn't attack after being incited, it gets bumped down to half. If it did attack, it's liable for 100%. You see that the halacha is, if you own the dog and someone else incites it, you're going to be liable. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaye, or deflects Abaye, Mi katane nagah hayav? Who told you that if it gores, you're liable to even anything? All it says is, if you want to bump it down from 100% liability for damages to 50% liability for damages, it needs to be that after being incited, after being pet, that it wouldn't attack. That much I get. If it would attack, I don't know that I have to pay anything. It's still a mu'ad, that I accept. It didn't go down to being a tam, but who said I have to pay anything? Your deduction is wrong. The Mishnah is talking about how do you take it from a higher level liability, 100%, and bump it down to half. Well, if it doesn't attack. If it does attack, it might just stay baseline. It's a shor mu'ad. But for that attack, might not be liable at all. Dilma hanagah lo havetam. Maybe if it did attack after being incited, it doesn't become tam. Its subsequent recklessness doesn't bring it down to 50% liability. Ubahi negihah lamechayev. But for that inciting attack, maybe you pay absolutely zero. You can't bring proof from this Mishnah. It's still on death row. Yeah. Says the Gemara, Tashema, what about the following? Back from Masechet Sanhedrin. Remember the Mishnah in Sanhedrin? I mentioned it just a few moments ago when I was introducing us. Shisa bo et hakelib. The halacha is if a person incited a dog, shisa bo nahash, or a person incites a snake, a serpent, patur. Such a circumstance, the inciter is patur. So the deduction goes as follows. Who's patur? I just told you, the insider. My love, patur mishaseh v'hayav ba'al hakelib. The first glance reaction to this Mishnah is, who's exempt? Just the insider. Who might be obligated? The owner. Says the Gemara, no. Lo, ema patur af mishaseh. We can argue that even the owner, not only the insider, but the owner and the insider are both exempt. So we don't have evidence, we don't have proof with regards to the owner of something or an animal which becomes incited to the extent that it damages, whether he's liable or not. Amar Rava, Rava says, you might not have clarity on that, but the following I think we can find clarity on, same line of logic, same direction, but different. Im timselo maram chase kelbo shel havero behavero hayav. It says, first and foremost, what about if we are to argue that hameshase kalbo shel havero behavero hayav, that the owner of the animal would be liable when the inciting takes place, shisahu hu be'atzmo patur. If after inciting it, it attacks the inciter himself, patur. Let me review one more time. Im timse lomar, if you're going to tell me that I walk into your house and I incite your dog against another person, I'm hayav. You have evidence for that? We don't have evidence. But if you were to tell me, oftentimes when the Gemara starts with an if you were to tell me, that's how we're posek la'alacha. Against another person. Right? So I walk into your property and I incite your dog against a person, against a dog. Doesn't make a difference for our purposes. If you're to tell me hayav, let's grant that. Why let's grant that? Whenever the Gemara does that, even though we don't have proof that way, that's how we're posek halacha. You can see over here already, right next to where it says Hamshaseh Kalbo Shel Havero, there's a little dalet that tells us that's the liability. You're hayav. So the owner, you should know, is hayav. Okay, however, what about... That's what we're up to. What about if I go into Charlie's property and I incite his dog, but it attacks me? So what's the halakha in such a circumstance? Again, if I go into Charlie's property and I incite his dog and it goes after another person, maybe we'll say Charlie's hayav. Why would we say Charlie's hayav? Because after all, it's his property. He should have been safeguarding it. But what about if I incite it and something goes wrong, it attacks me, not the person I was trying to incite it against? Says Rava, the halakha in that situation would be patur. My ta'ama, what would the reason be? Kol ha-mishaneh. It's a principle we saw earlier in the Gemara, that any time there's an initial act called shinui, something out of the norm, a damaging circumstance situation which is not to be expected, in other words, you veered from the regular path, and another comes in that context, we'll give an example in a moment, you might remember it already, and does another shinui on that, patur. You did something strange, the fact that you got knocked afterwards makes you the one who was quote-unquote deservant of what was to come. Therefore, I walked onto your property, incited your dog, shina. I did something strange, out of the norm. The fact that your dog then attacked me, Karen, Mishune, you're not liable in such a circumstance. That's only one shinui. That's only one shinui. Well, that the shinui which was caused by me. Over here, I was mishane, I incited, and then you, as the owner, the question is, again, when I incited someone else's dog, me as the insider, I'm patur, gerama. You as the owner, there's one shinui, it's a kerin. The question is, are you liable for that kerin or not? Over here, even if you are liable for that kerin, but I'm the one who caused the kerin over here, and as a result, you'll be patur. We're assuming yes.
Every owner would say that the person incited the animal. It would be a natural response for
you. You need testimony. You need testimony. It's definitely not shin. It's hard to argue regel. You have to argue something along the lines of it's a keren mu'at. We'll address something similar when we, not today, deal with the bottom Tosafot. The bottom Tosafot deals with a case, well, we'll deal with it in a little bit. Should we deal with it now? No, let's finish the Gemara and we'll come back to that next time. So Nathan, keep your question and thought in mind. Says the Gemara, Amar le Rav Papa le Rava. Rav Papa said to Rava, Itmar mishemeh deresh lakish kavatech. Rav Papa exclaimed to Rava, Rava, you claim that let's grant that the owner of the incited dog is liable, generally speaking. However, if the incited dog goes after the insider, then the owner is exempt. Why? It's a shinui followed by a shinui. An abnormal act of me inciting your dog followed by an abnormal act of it attacking me. You should know we have such a concept already from Resh Lakish. We learned this already in our Masechet. Listen to the case. De'amar Resh Lakish, again, Rav Papa is bringing evidence for Rava for this principle of kol ha-mishane u-ba-acher v'shinabo patur de'amar Resh Lakish shete parot bershut harabim. There are two cows out in the public area. Okay? Ahat revusa v'ahat mehalechet. One is squatting. Not normal. Not normal for animals to be squatting in the public area. Not normal to have a broken down car in the middle of the street or any car in the middle of the street. So there's one squatting in the middle of the street and there's one walking. Which one's mishune? The squatting one. Uba'ata mehalechet berevusa petura. If now the walking animal, which is the normal action, kicks the sitting animal, patur. Why are you patur in such a circumstance? Kol ha-mishane. Kicking the animal is abnormal. Sitting animal is abnormal. Your fault. Not my fault. However, if it's revutza b'mehalechet hayav, if it's the squatting one which kicks the walking one, hayav, obviously. My animal was walking. I didn't do anything abnormal. So we're bringing evidence, Rav Papayas, for Rava, that kola mishaneu ba'achir v'shinabo patur, from this case of Resh Lakish, says Rava, not sharp enough. I'll tell you why. It's nice, but it's not sharp enough because of the following. In our case, my case, says Rava, listen to the circumstance. The inciting of the dog by me is what caused the dog to attack me. My shinui, my abnormal strange action, is what caused directly the abnormal strange action of the dog to bite me, to attack me, right? In this situation, is because the animal's squatting on the floor and another animal walks by, is that why it kicked it? That's not why it kicked it. So I would argue, says Rava, if the case, he's going to say it explicitly, is that the walking by animal steps over and hurts the animal which is squatting, patur. Because your animal was squatting, that's what caused my animal to walk over it and hurt it. However, that my animal took a cheap shot on the way by, that's not going to be. Amar le, ana behahi, says Rava, I, behahi, in that case of Rish Lakish, chiyuve mehayevana. I would make the owner of the walking animal, which took the cheap shot at the sitting animal, a hayav, de amrinanle, we would say, ki itlach reshuta. When do you have permission, so to speak, to damage the mishune animal, lesaguye ale? Means to walk over it. If you walked over it and you damaged it, you hurt it, you're not liable. What's it doing sitting in my way? Lebautebi? To kick me? Let lach reshuta, you have no permission. Although I want you to hold on to this for the other conversation, for the Nathan conversation, this interpretation can be found in Nimukei Yosef, in the back of the Gemara, here at the bottom of the narrow lines. He makes this claim that that's the distinction. The distinction between walking over or kicking is the difference between did the Davar mishune, the strange action, bring about the damage or not? If it directly brought it about, then I'm patur. If it's not directly, I just did something strange. I had my animal sitting down. But your animal, because you found a sitting down animal, you may as well do whatever you want to it. It doesn't work that way. It's only if, because of the ma'ase mishune, the nezek mishune happens to it. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen v'amen.